Welcome
Love
to
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. This is Mary Blake, and we're waiting for our guest, hopefully, to call in, Melissa Kravacic. Let's see. Otherwise, we will talk a little bit about what the call is all about, what the show is all about. And basically, we all come to this planet, to this plane, with great gifts to give to the planet and to give to the people here. And by the time we are well educated as to how to live here and what other people expect of us, most of us have completely forgotten what we came here for. So, it takes maybe half a lifetime, maybe even more than that, for people to really begin to search their own hearts and souls and realize what it was that's missing in their life, what they really came here for, and to go about the job they came here to do. And Melissa is here, I do believe. Hold on a second. Hello, Melissa?
Hello, Mary. I am here.
Hi. Wonderful to have you here. And,
absolutely.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I was just sort of discussing about the fact that most of us come here with wonderful gifts, and by the time we're housebroken and taught how to behave and what we can and can't do, we completely forget what we came here to do. And here you are at 27, and you didn't mess around. You didn't wait. You didn't wait until you were 80, like Grandma Moses did, to start painting. How in the world did you manage that?
Well, you know, failure. Failure has taught me a lot of things. It wasn't that I wanted to wait or I didn't want to wait. It was simply a matter of having to wait or not having to wait. And you aren't blessed with titles, accolades, or money if you don't have patience and if you don't have faith. So you can push yourself as much as you want to become successful and to accumulate wealth, but oftentimes it's taken away in the same breath because you don't have the patience or faith to actually see it through.
Or you haven't learned how to husband it, how to keep it going. Maybe.
Financial literacy, absolutely. Most people know nothing about it. In fact, I was just talking to somebody yesterday who had a $500,000 a year business, and the problem was that when I said, where's your money, they literally were like, well, I've seen a couple thousand here and a couple thousand there. I'm like, where is your money? They're like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just want to make $1 million. I'm like, look, if you can't keep track of 500,000, you can't keep track of a million.
That's for sure. But,
yeah.
You know, I am so much older than you are. I've lived a long, long time so far and intend to live quite a bit longer. But things have changed so drastically since I was a girl. I mean, you know, my father died when I was 13. My mother was 32, and she had never written a check.
Oh, wow. I mean, nowadays I don't even write checks, so...
But trust me, there was nothing but checks, you know, or Western Union, or you know. But But yeah.
You know, I remember that. So, when I was little, my dad, he used to write, like, checks all the time. And then he'd get, like, all the checks back from the bank, and there would be, like, hundreds of them.
Right, and then you had to double check and make sure that you had to reconcile your bank account, and you know, the bank statement would come, and you'd have to write down all the checks that you had written, and then subtract and do add and subtract, and didn't. Sometimes you found that the bank made a mistake.
Yeah, and nowadays it's so easy: get your bank statement, hand it to your accountant, and you're done.
There you go. So
I was just on Monday, like literally going over all the numbers from the last quarter. I'm like, tell me what I owe you and tell me what my numbers are and let's call it a day.
That sounds good to me, because I'm a firm believer that you shouldn't have $1,000 an hour person doing a $20 an hour job or less.
I agree with you, but most people don't know how much value that they have, so you have to know how much value you have in the marketplace in order for you to even consider asking for what you're worth.
Yes, and I am absolutely convinced that time is the new wealth.
Why is that?
Because the time that you waste is money thrown away.
Well, that's true. But most people only make $7 to $10 an hour, maybe $15 with the new minimum wage standard.
This is true. But even at $7 to $10 an hour, If they used their time properly, they'd be making a whole lot more than that, wouldn't they?
Well, it's true for anybody, but that doesn't mean that they're going to make more or that they have the desire to make more. Just because you have the potential to make more doesn't mean you're going to do anything about it. All of us have plenty of potential, but the fact that we read books and listen to audios and invest in coaching doesn't mean that we're actually going to uphold the strategies that are taught.
Absolutely. But the whole thing is that even if you don't make all that much money, the quality of life, of what you do with your time, is very, very important too.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's another thing most people don't understand is, what do you value? And how do you figure out what you value? And the reality is that whatever is around you right now in your space is what you value and what you spend the most money on. So, you know, I would encourage people to look around the room and ask themselves what's on the wall, what's in front of them. If you've got a large screen TV in front of you, then you value probably playing video games or watching a very large amount of TV every day. Successful people watch less than an hour of television a day.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I want to get back to Melissa, and I'm fascinated about how did you start out? You said you made some mistakes, and Then you said you learned, and could you tell us a little bit about that? Because a lot of people make mistakes and they just blame other people.
Yes. So in 2004, I took my first job with Walmart at 16 years old, and then at 19, I became their youngest store manager ever, and I actually ended up getting fired for doing the right thing. And then in 2009, I had to work a temp job at a temp agency for minimum wage, which totally sucked. And I went from six figures to hardly anything at all. And the reality was that I couldn't afford a car. I couldn't afford a house. I couldn't afford everything that I owned. So that repossessed house got taken away. I ended up maxing out five credit cards, $50,000 in debt. And on top of that, I spent 6 days in jail for speeding. So at the end of the day, 22 years old, I end up back with my parents, not knowing what I'm going to do. And after my 6 day stint in jail for speeding, I end up gravitating towards YouTube videos, and I watched thousands of hours of them now. I have read hundreds of books. I read 10 to 12 books a month, and I am focused on how to get the fastest results with the most ease and less pain, because all of us want results in our life, whether it's financially or whether it's in our health or in our business or on our bottom line. But we can't get results with ease if we're focused on the outcome only. So we have to go back and realize, what can we do every single day that will consistently bring us closer to our goals? And that is that we can drink, you know, a couple bottles of water a day. We can read half an hour a day. We can go to the gym for 20 minutes a day. And none of these things are extremely difficult, and none of them are very time-consuming. But all of them combined together, compounded over time, create the kind of life that we all want to live.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So when you actually got some know-how from how to husband your work, and how to really train yourself to do the best job you could do and to get the most money for it. How did that happen? How do you translate reading and listening to audio tapes and videos, CDs and everything, into suddenly success from failure? How did you manage that?
Well, it's not so much about consumption as it is execution. So instead of focusing on what everybody else had around me, whether it be brand new cars or no cars, whether it be financially independent or financially dependent, whether it be, you know, great houses or houses that were financed, the reality is that we have to focus on the results that we want. So I would literally write down every single thing that I want, and then I would figure out a way to get that. So if I... When I first started, I got to tell you, I wrote down things like toilet paper and toothpaste because I didn't have that. So I'm going from having nothing after having everything to I want toilet paper and toothpaste. Like, I don't want my parents to pay for these things anymore, right? So I figure out to do like a buy one, get one free, like, hey, you get a coaching hour and then you get another one free. And that only works for so long, and you can only regurgitate so much information, which, by the way, I don't recommend. But the reality is that I was able to get results from people by regurgitating information, and those results were able to be replicated time and time again. So then all of a sudden I had my own system of getting results, which I could sell for more than I could sell regurgitated information.
But how did you promote yourself? Did you promote yourself on social media? How did you get these jobs, these first coaching sessions?
Yeah, the first thing I did was I went to Facebook, and I got my first the girl was actually a realtor in Florida. She did a buy one, get one free session with me. I had a guy in Arizona, I think, that was a fitness guy, and I coached him for 3 years, and I took him from zero to a little over a million, and he never paid me, but that was okay because he was my first success story, and so I didn't really mind. But I don't necessarily think that you should work for free, but if you're trying to systematize your company in a way that gets results that are repeatable and sustainable, then it's okay taking on a client or two for the purpose of using them so much as an experiment, but as an experience to grow your company and theirs.
Mm-hmm. And they're also very good for testimonials, right?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. You know, I've now grown the company to well over almost 40 clients now, and I'm on an international tour, and I don't know what you told the audience about me, but I'm the top 1% of executives in the U.S., and I've been on the cover of Evolution magazine as their top power player under 40. I've been on CNN, ABC, and NBC, and CBS, and whatever, you name it. I've been pretty much everywhere. But I don't say that to brag. I just say that because it's what can happen to anybody in 5 years if they choose to invest, if they choose to commit, if they choose to go after their passion and not worry about how much money do you get paid, who tells you you get awesome every single day, who gives you awards and accolades, because none of that stuff really matters. What really matters is, are you passionate and are you fulfilled? Because if you're not passionate and you're not fulfilled, you're going to be depressed, worried, you're going to have so much anxiety that life is really going to suck for you.
Absolutely. And many, many people, if they had gone through what you did and had to go home, back home and move back in with their parents, would have declared themselves a failure, would have felt sorry for themselves, would have blamed everybody that they could possibly blame, including the world and the city they were in and the country they were in and the president, if nothing else.
But, you know, Mary, I actually did that for quite some time, actually 18 months to be exact. I didn't know what I was doing for 18 months. So I spent these 18 months just, okay, well, I can't go out because I'm extremely obese. I can't go out because I'm broke and I'm pretending to be not broke. I can't do this because, and I would come up with like all these reasons and excuses, and I tell them to myself so many times that I would have a story and I'd believe this story. And one day, like, I just woke up and I can't believe my own story and I can't believe my own excuses, because if I continue to believe these things, that's what my reality is going to be. And growing up in a town of 300 people in Northeast Iowa is no joke, because everybody gets paid less than $40,000 a year. Everybody finances their cars and their houses, which, by the way, are nothing to be excited about. I mean, we're talking about crappy cars and crappy houses.
Oh, sure. Listen, I grew up in southern Illinois, which is 400 miles south of Chicago, and my brother right now is living in Peoria. So you're talking to the choir right now. It's almost a miracle when somebody really succeeds big in that area, which really impressed me with you. You know, that my goodness, you know, that's amazing. So here we are, and you are, what you are telling me and what you're telling our audience is you basically took charge of your future. You took charge of your present, even.
There was nobody else that would do it for me, and there's nobody else that's going to do it for you. So you've got one of two options: do nothing and have what you have in life and be content with that, or miserable, or do something and change your life and change your lifestyle and change your income and do it because you want to do it, not because you have to do it, because we don't have to do anything. You either want to do it or you don't. And if you want to do it, then you're going to have fun, and it's going to be, you know, fulfilling to you. But if you don't want to do it, it's going to suck. Like, some people, myself included, don't necessarily love going to the gym. So that's not, like, something we wake up excited about every single day. But when I wake up, I'm like, oh, my God, who can I impact? Who can I sell to? Who can I help? How can I add value to them? That stuff will keep me up all night and wake me up early in the morning, and I never feel tired or lethargic because I'm energized by the fact that I get to do what I love every single day. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't get that option. And there's not a day that goes by that you don't get that option. The difference between me and somebody that's listening that's miserable is I chose a different path, and you have the opportunity to do the same. All you have to do is wake up and say, I choose to be done with this lifestyle. Let me do something different.
And we all have the choice, and we all have 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That we do, Mary. But the thing is that if you look at really successful people like Richard Branson, Oprah Winfrey, like, you know, who are major pop star singers right now? I don't even know. But the point is that these guys accomplish more in a day than most people accomplish in a year. And these guys make more in a day than most people make in a year.
Is that this is absolutely true. And I would imagine that they're more alive while they're doing it.
You know they are. But they're also financially educated, well, most of them are. I guess 50 Cent is not. He's now declaring bankruptcy, but we'll say 99% of them are.
I think he chose the wrong name. He's down to 50 Cent again.
At least we can laugh. We're not in that position.
So what? Tell me about how you began to promote yourself in the media. How did this wonderful magazine find you? How did you wind up floating to the top 1% of the entrepreneurs in the United States? Tell me a little bit about your steps. You know, how did you have to change your mind in order to do that? How did you have to reinvent yourself?
Yeah, great question. So there's no other option but to reinvent yourself, and there's no other way to do it but to have a different mindset. And the key is that you have to change your mindset. So the reality is, what can you do today that will change your life tomorrow without focusing on tomorrow or without focusing on yesterday? So you have to pull your worries aside. And people like to worry. They like to worry about everything from how much money am I going to make today to do I have enough to pay the grocery bill today? Where's my car keys, right? So we need to set our worries aside and focus on the task at hand. And right now the task at hand for me is this interview. So there's nothing else going on except this interview. Even though I was doing plenty of other things, when I got your email, 1 minute till the show, where are you? I'm like, oh, my God, everything doesn't matter except my commitment to me.
And you see how we worked together for that.
Yes.
Because I intuited, I knew how busy you are, and that sometimes people who are that committed and that excited about life, You can be so focused in what you're doing that you don't know what time it is. So boom, I shot you an email, and within a minute you were back. You were right with me. It was fabulous. Yep.
The thing is that most people don't check their email, and I happen to have mine up for some reason, which is crazy. But it's because I have so many contracts going on right now that I needed it up. And interestingly enough, had you not said that, I actually have shows down for Friday that are supposed to be tomorrow, so apparently my schedule is messed up. So thank God I got fixed now instead of later.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it.
This, you know, when you talk about time, it's so interesting. To let you know a tiny bit about myself, I am a spiritual healer. And I work with a spirit guide sometimes when I remember. And she says a couple of interesting things. She says, there's only one time, and it's now. It's only one place, and it's here. Because here and now is the only time you can do anything.
True story, Mary. It's a true story.
So it seems that you are really totally connected to your now. Because when we're worrying about what happened yesterday or 5 minutes ago or whatever, if we're not doing it in a really positive way and see how great this is and see how we can work this way, then what we're doing is we're stealing away from the now. We're stealing away from what we can do right now. And if we're worrying about what we're going to do next year or next month or even tomorrow, and not focusing, concentrating on right this minute, we are cheating ourselves.
Oh, we are. And we cheat ourselves out of relationships. We cheat ourselves out of money. We cheat ourselves out of opportunities simply because we use the excuse, I don't have time. That is complete crap. You have time for what you want to have time for, and you don't have time for the things that you don't want to have time for, and that's it.
Yeah, and you spend more time making the excuses that you can't do things, and you could have done them in the time that you wasted making your excuses.
Yep, exactly. Like, you know, I could be having client calls right now. I could be doing a whole bunch of other things, but none of that is as important as conversation you and I are having, because I reserve the time to be present with you in this interview and with the audience. So we like to do things 10 at a time. All of us like to have stuff we're busy on, and it's email, it's social media, it's the phone is ringing and the kids are crying and the dog is barking and, you know, your boss is calling and all this crap. And we have to just stop, because all of this stuff combined together makes us worry more. If we drew back the curtain and did things one at a time at the time they called us to do them, then we would simplify our lives and we would feel less pressure and no worry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am sitting here and I'm just staring at your photo.
Yeah.
With that beautiful smile and the very deep penetrating eyes that you have. And I feel that I am totally here with you right now, and we're doing this.
Because we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we talk about all of the divisions between people and between time and between life and between having and have not and being able and disabled and whatever, all of this is garbage. It's just total. We are fooling ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because I have clients that come up with this crap every day.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not just clients. You go to the grocery store, it's right there. You go to the post office, it's right there. You go to any kind of public transportation, it's right there. Anytime you're by a person, it's literally right there.
Yes, absolutely. And you never know whether the stranger next to you could wind up being your best friend, could be a benefactor, could be an angel in your next project. You don't have any idea what wonderful things can happen until you reach out, until you energize it, until you go for it.
Speaking of which, maybe we should tell the audience how we met.
Well, why don't you do that? After all, what is this incredibly, this beautiful, intelligent, and successful 27-year-old doing talking to an 86-year-old woman here? How in the world did that happen?
Yes, so it was the 4th of July, and Mary calls me literally out of blue and says, you're above the words take a risk and below the words Dr. So-and-so. I don't even know his name. And I definitely had to call you because it's just calling my name to call you today. And I'm like, how the hell did we meet? And of course, when we get on the phone, she just assumes that I'm Melissa. Anybody could be Melissa, but she assumes that I'm Melissa, which seems right. We have, like, an amazing one-hour conversation, and here we are, I'm on her show, just 3 weeks later, maybe not even 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's pretty incredible. So New York, Iowa, 86-27, there's so many things that we could say, like, you know, we're just not going to get along because there's 6 years between us and we live in two completely different worlds, but we can make it work because we have the time to put into the relationship. We didn't say, oh, it's the 4th of July. I'm sorry, I'm going to go do something better than talking to some stranger on the phone.
I was just so tickled that I was prepared to leave a message on your answering machine, and when I heard your voice, I said, "Boom! Oh, I love this girl." Hey, you know, just the energy coming through. It was so exciting. It was wonderful. But isn't this an exact perfect example of what we've been talking about?
It is. That's why I said we should bring up how we met, because we did not meet that long ago, and
yeah.
The way we met was so completely dictated by the universe. There was no other way we would ever meet in our lifetime.
Exactly. And how in the world I got you, why your name was right there in between, and it was just so funny because there were these two completely disconnected names and the statement I had written out just out of nothing, and so here we were, and I said, I got to call this girl, and I did. I just sat down right then and did it. And what do you think would happen if some of these people that are feeling sorry for themselves and complaining about how terrible life is and how all of the odds are stacked against them and nobody cares about them, I mean, what if they just sat down and just called somebody?
Called the wrong number. No, I'm joking. It was honestly, I hate cold calls, but this was by far the best cold call ever in my life. And
oh my!
I mean, you're obviously an intuitive and one of the best psychics in the U.S., I think you said.
Well, that's what Hans Holzer said.
That's so right. I say the same thing with magazines and all this stuff. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Uh-huh.
I just get results. But psychically, obviously, you feel something or you see something or whatever. I don't know exactly how that works, but whatever you're seeing or feeling right now, I think you should tell me because we're live and there's nothing better than doing this live in front of an audience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got somebody texted a question here. Let me see if I can get it just right.
They text 86-year-olds
okay.
These days.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, I get texts all the time. Okay. I've got a question. What kind of a tour are you on? Somebody wants to know.
Sure. It's an international motivational tour with the world's number one speaker, Les Brown. So you can find out details about that at boldbooktour.com. And we're going to be in New York City, Orlando, L.A. We kick off in Houston 3 weeks from tomorrow. And then, of course, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Australia, and London.
Wow. That is totally outrageous. Outrageous. Would you give them the link again?
Yes. Bold, B-O-L-D, booktour.com. And just to let you guys know, like, I wrote 3 books. The first one is called Be Ballsy, How Not to Suck at Love, Success, and Happiness. The second one is Be a Baller, The Blueprint to Have It All. And the third one is Bold. And so I wrote all 3 of those in 2014. 2 of them became international bestsellers in a combined 7 categories, staying on the chart for more than 70 days at the number one spot. And so the book that we're on tour with actually was nominated as the Small Business Book of the Year. So we've been incredibly blessed with that. But, you know, it's all about inspiring people to be greater than they are and better than they think they can be.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And do you have a website, I presume?
Wow, doesn't everybody have a website, Mary? Yes, we have a website. It's called BriellaArion.com, and I'll spell that out. I know you've got it in the show notes, but BriellaArion.com, BriellaArion.com. And you can find everything there, from interviews like this one. I've done 80 this year, and I've got 5 this week, so 85 this year, and that's between podcasts, television, and radio. And then I've got client testimonials. My story, including pictures, are done in a video format, which is about 20 minutes in length. And you can find more about what I do there. But it's just an awesome site to connect with other powerful leaders and learn about how you can be so much greater than you already are.
That sounds wonderful, because I feel that many, many people work very hard and finally achieve something, and then there's an anticlimactic collapse. It's like the burst, the balloon burst. They've only got one thing that they worked for in their whole life, and when they got it, they've got no reason to live anymore. I'm being over dramatic, but I'm doing it in order to literally get the feeling across. How have you managed, since you've accomplished so much, how have you managed to keep that excitement, to keep that momentum going? And Lord knows where you're going to be. I mean, tell me.
I guess it's just passion. I found what my purpose in life is, and I've been following it. There are weeks that I sell nothing, and then there are weeks like this week, which just rock. I've sold 2 6-figure deals in the last 2 days with another one, so this is a very, very good financial week. It'll probably be my first $1 million month, which is pretty insane. But
it certainly is.
Yeah, you just wake up and you don't think about, like you know, I was saying before, what do you have to do tomorrow? What did you do yesterday? You think about, okay, what can I accomplish today? Who can I speak to today? How do I get my energy up today? And that's going to include eating healthy. It's going to include going to the gym. It's going to include meditation. It's going to include drinking water. It's going to include taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, we like to say, and by the way, I'm not a parent, but.
I didn't think you were.
No. I just had my first niece, but I'm not a parent. We oftentimes fail to take care of ourselves. So we put ourselves last.
Absolutely.
We fail to take showers. We fail to you know, just take 5 minutes out of the day and say, like, I need my space. And it's difficult to do. I get it. You know, I just spent the whole day yesterday with my two-week-old baby niece. So by the time I left, I mean, I had a headache. I was like, this kid will not stop crying. I'm trying to take phone calls and answer emails. And,
You
have to put yourself first. You just have to know that whatever the day brings you, you'll come out better tomorrow.
Definitely, definitely. And if you have the attitude that everything that you go through, that you do, is contributing to your growth, then it's kind of clear the deck.
Yeah, because everything you go through is something that you absolutely get to experience that, you know, others don't get to experience. I've had many experiences in my life, and 99% of 27-year-olds have not experienced what I've experienced. But I would say that 99% of 27-year-olds are not set up for the kind of success I have experienced. So,
of course.
The average 27-year-old probably is just getting out of college and probably living with their parents, maybe, and trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life. Well, in order to get out of average and mediocrity, we have to say, how do we prepare ourselves in whatever situation we're in, whether it be, you know, $50,000 in debt and broke, or whether it be, you know, having $1 million a month? How do you, on two very different sides of the spectrum, stay humble, stay present, and stay inspired? And No matter how successful you become, you're going to have bad days. You just are. You know, Sunday was a bad day for me. That doesn't mean Monday morning I'm going to wake up and not be inspired to go impact the world. You can't just let one bad day drag into the rest of your week.
You know, this is interesting. So many times I hear somebody say, so-and-so ruined my day.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why are you letting them ruin that? That is not happening now. One of the things that I do when I'm counseling people and they start telling me how badly they were treated when they were young, I say to them, is it happening now? Well, no.
People want to live in the past. They absolutely want to live in the past because pain is the easiest thing to remember. So when we remember pain, all of a sudden we don't have to find a way to remember good memories or find a way to be inspired to live today, because we're so impacted by the negativity, the pain, the how bad it is for me to have a situation that we aren't focused on how we can be grateful for what we have where we are.
And you now said a magic word. Absolutely.
I did.
Yes, you did. You said grateful.
Yep. We have to be grateful. Well, maybe not have to be, but I would encourage you to be grateful.
If we're going to be successful, we better be. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So if you can't be grateful for what you've got, how do you expect to get anything more?
Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just don't expect it, because that's kind of the way it is.
Yeah. You have a choice of looking, of stacking up and addressing what's not working or what's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the choice you have between what you wear and what makeup you put on and who you call and who you email and who you connect with today. You have a choice every single time that you make a decision, and you're making hundreds of decisions every single day. And those hundreds of decisions that you make lead to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of decisions every single week. And when you continue to make the same decisions over and over and over, unconsciously or consciously, you're choosing to live a certain lifestyle. You're choosing to live with a certain income. You're choosing to make a certain impact, and that's all a choice. So just change the choice and change the decision, and you'll change your life.
Absolutely. What you focus on internally sooner or later becomes your external reality.
Yeah, you know, an easy way to do this is, and some people have not heard of this, some people have, is whatever you want to achieve, put it as your password. And when you achieve that thing, then change the password. So one of the things that I wanted to achieve this year was millionaire status. So every one of my passwords would include the word millionaire. And did it come to plurality? Yeah, yes, it did, because every single day I had to type that password in, and now all of a sudden I'm looking at $1 million a month. Not $1 million,
$1 million.
So, I mean, we have to think about the amount of times we're in front of electronics or something that needs a passcode, and what does your passcode say about what you want to achieve? And that's something that's super simple.
It's very simple. And the triggers that we accept or create, That's very important, because they change our lives. They're sort of the borders of the life. I started out when I was 3 and 4 years old working adult jigsaw puzzles, and I learned real quickly you do the border first.
Oh, that's interesting. I totally never did the border first.
You never did the border first?
No, I always started in the middle and worked my way out.
There you go. Isn't that fascinating? So you just honed in on the heart of it, and built it, and I did kind of a structure thing, and then filled the whole. Then I did an empty structure and then filled it in.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that, because my philosophy is you've got to start with the most complex thing first, and then end with the easy stuff so you feel amazing about accomplishing the entire thing. So the most complex is the middle part, which you chose to work from the easy to the complex. So I guess it's the optimization thing.
Well, I was only 4 years old, so...
I'm surprised you can remember back that far.
I do. I really do. And I remember a lot of things, and I remember how I felt about the things. And that, and I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in interacting with people is not being able to realize that they have feelings, and if you can remember how you felt when you were two, then it's much easier to deal with 2-year-olds.
That's so fascinating to me, because I honestly can't remember hardly anything. I'm terrible. I have like the worst memory ever. Ask me what I can accomplish. I can accomplish anything. But ask me about having a memory from the time I was 7 years old or any other time, forget about it.
Well, maybe nothing happened that was really important to you in that time, other than simply being fed and being and growing and learning how to read and write and calculate, you know, and how to get along with people. But you were doing things, and what you were doing then is affecting how you work now. So whether you remember it or not, that's fine. But just as long as that structure is in there, and that power, and that motivation that is going through you. And I would suspect that that your parents were appreciative of the amazing things you did. I suspect they did. I have a friend who's 27, and his father did not appreciate. He's a genius. His father didn't appreciate it because his father mm-hmm. was a he was on a completely different track. You know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was home yesterday, my mom's like, "How are you doing with money?" And I'm thinking to myself, "Are you kidding me? Is this even a question?" And my sister and her were talking about, like, you know, how much money they make, and it's less than $40,000. It's like $38,000 or something like that. And they're like, "Yeah, that's really good money." And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I don't understand. Like, I just couldn't live that lifestyle again. I just choose not to live that lifestyle again. I mean,
uh-huh.
once you're broke uh-huh. and you have zero money and you are maxed out and you, like, just life is a choice. And it's just we can choose to become whoever we want to be if we do something different. And I cannot stress that enough, because everyone has the opportunity that I had, that Les Brown had, that, you know, T. Allen Haynes had. Everyone has this opportunity,
mm-hmm.
even though
mm-hmm.
they don't see it.
Yeah, and look at Oprah. Look at what she had to overcome.
Yep.
Totally
yep.
amazing.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
It isn't what you have at all. It's what you do with it.
Oh yeah.
And that goes for anything.
You got to become resourceful with the resources that you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the time you have is the time is a resource. It's a huge resource.
Oh. People waste time all the time. New York, for example, where you live, I was there not that long ago, and I just could not believe that people were spending 4 hours a day one way on a train. Like, whoa, that's amazing to me.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Two hours one way and two hours back. And it's crazy. It's really crazy. I used to spend 2 hours a day, one hour to go to work and 1 hour to get back home. So it turned an 8 hour day into a 10 hour day. You know.
That's what I'm saying. And then, like, where's the time for your family? Where's the time for going shopping? Where's the time for taking your significant other or spouse on a date? Where's the time for yourself? And besides, you've got to sleep somehow. And then this is how people's sleep schedules get all mixed up. And it's
yeah.
because of the chaos that we create.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I did is I was reading constantly. You know, I had 2 hours a day to read. So
that's good. Somebody once asked me, they said, Melissa, do you think I should do what you do? I said, absolutely not. I think
yeah,
you should do what
yeah.
you want to do, because what I do is specific to me and it's my genius. You've got your own genius, so I think you should follow that. To try and play the role of what somebody else does is not going to work.
And why would you settle for being a carbon copy when you can be a bright, shining original?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't really think anybody could replicate me.
No.
It would be very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely, because you are unique, and just as we all are. And, you know, you can't, this the problem is with people, that they want you to be something that they can understand. They want to put you into a pigeonhole. They want to say this person is this type, and they always do this, and you can count them for that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if I could condense other strangers' reactions to me, it would be, but you just don't seem to be the type to do da 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 da. And I tried patiently to explain to them that I'm not a type.
Oh, well, I'll tell everybody you're not a type because I know firsthand because we met as strangers.
For
and
sure.
I'm not a type either.
Right.
It's just
exactly.
There are some people that fit the box and some people that don't. I don't. You don't.
Yeah.
If you don't want to fit the box, then you got to do something different, and that's going to be your choice.
Exactly. We're kind of winding down toward the end of the hour, believe it or not. And I'm going to ask you if you could just step into the living room or wherever, the office, or wherever the audience is listening to you, what would you tell them?
Well, I would probably have to say to surround yourself with the dreamers and the doers, the believers and the thinkers, but most importantly, to surround yourself with those who see greatness within you, even when you don't see it in yourself.
Good. And once you are surrounded, once you have surrounded yourself with those people, then what would you do? Then what would you suggest they do?
Do what they do. So there's a quote that says that we are the equivalent of the five people we hang out with the most. I personally don't believe that quote because if I hang out with five rich people, unless I'm doing what five rich people are doing, I'm not going to become rich. And unless I do what five poor people are doing, I'm not going to be poor. So you have to make a decision on what you want to be. Find somebody who's accomplished what you want to accomplish and figure out a way that feels good for you to get those same results. You know, I had a client come to me this morning. She says, I am so effing fed up because I'm trying this strategy and it doesn't work. And I'm like, obviously it doesn't feel good for you, so don't do it. Do only what feels good for you. And so many of us want to try and do what seems to work, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So I tell my clients all the time, like, if it doesn't work for you or if it doesn't make you feel good, and everything you do should make you feel good, then just stop. It's really not worth exerting your time and effort and energy into if it doesn't make you feel good or it doesn't make you feel fulfilled.
Yes, and so many people, when things go wrong, they don't realize that they have the wonderful advantage to, they have just learned something not to do.
Oh, Mary, you got to, like, tell them that the things that you do are less important than the things that you don't do. So you've got to learn to say no more often. Just say no all the time. If you don't want to do something, just say no. And your energy will increase, you'll have more time, and you don't have to exert as much energy because you're only doing the things that you want to do because you want to do them, which is super awesome.
Yes, and you know how many of us have never learned to say no?
Oh, I had this neighbor, and they had, like, five kids, and they were having a newborn, and apparently she didn't set up daycare or she didn't set up somebody should take her kids to the school, so she knew I worked at my house. And she was always like, oh, can you please take the kids to school and pick them up at 12:30, 3:30, and 5? And I'm like, no, that's not my responsibility. Hello, these are your children. Funny enough, they put on sick, nasty notes on my car, and I knew she actually broke her lease and moved out, like, within a month or two. And I have zero issues. But it was just funny that she was blaming everybody but herself, not taking responsibility for the fact that she was, like, 48 hours from having a newborn and nobody was going to take her kids to and from school.
And we've got 5 seconds to end the session. So we're going to have to do this again so that we can... We can solve the problems of the world together, okay? In the meantime, you have been absolutely wonderful, and I love you dearly, and I think I would like to have you in my life the rest of my life. And let's get together and love, let's say goodbye with love and light. Thank you. You've been wonderful.
Awesome. You got it.
I think we're done.
Like the best conversation.
Oh
ever.
My! I can't believe that woman expected you. I mean, you were a total stranger to her.
I said, please. I make more money not taking your kids to school than I would taking them to school. She offered me $40 to stop 4 times a day and go get her kids. I hell no. Like,
oh my Lord! Yeah,
$3 even pay for the gas to get to the school.
Oh, that is crazy! People are just so unrealistic. But anyway, this has been really fun.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Thank God, I did not miss it.
Yeah,
I
good.
I do have a question for you, though.
What?
You're like, what? I want to know, because, like, I am just fascinated by the fact that you're a psychic. I've never really, like, dealt with psychics or anything like that. So I just want to know, like, what your brain is saying to you.
What is my brain saying to me?
I just want to know, like, psychically, what are you picking up on? Or how does that work? I'm just fascinated by it.
Well, you know, there are all kinds of psychics. And there are all kinds of like just like anything else. There are, you know, qualities and talents that many different psychics have. I mean, I happen to be a clairsentient, which means I know things and I don't know how the hell I know them. And I don't know why I know them, but I just simply know them, you know. And my mouth opens up and says things that I didn't intend to say.
Good. So what do you know about me that I don't know?
I haven't peeked in. See, I am very particular about not deliberately eavesdropping into people. So why don't we? Yeah, there are times when I know this. This person is bad news. Get out. Get away from this person.
I'm like, get away from me. I know that this is not going to be a good relationship. But I just want to I mean, the hell, how does this work? I want to know. I'm not interested in... When you said that, I was just like, oh, no. The people that I don't want to be around. But this girl's like way too...
Listen,
cool.
I mean, you know, a lot of people that are in consider themselves psychic have gimmicks. And that bothers me a lot. I'm totally spontaneously in the moment. I have trained myself to be 100% into the moment, and that was hard to do because I started out as an intellectual snob.
Okay.
I used to laugh at people that read the horoscope in the newspaper. I mean, how unbelievable they were, you know, how superstitious and how ridiculous, you know. And but you have talents, and when you fight who you are, it's hard. It's hard on you. And I find that a lot of times people who are not being true to themselves and pushing away their own talent and their own brilliance and denying who they are usually wind up having really sick, bad lives.
Yeah, my mom's one of those people.
Well, look, you know, when you get right down to it, we learn more from our parents' mistakes than we learn from their really good qualities. So she's done you a favor in that.
Huge favor to not live broke. With a broke mind and a broke bank account and a broke anything, a broke down car.
And probably a broken heart and a broken spirit.
I think, you know, I don't know. It's just not, my parents have been married 27 years, so, or 28, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, I don't know. Maybe they're in love, maybe they're not, I don't know. Personally, I don't think they are, but just the thing of, you stay because, yeah, that's how it is. But.
What I can tell you. It's even now that you've asked me.
Yeah. Do I want to hear
that? I think you do. First of all, I don't know whether or not you believe in reincarnation.
Okay.
But what I'm going to tell you is has to do with another incarnation that you lived through, and you were totally brilliant and completely hogtied. It was, and you came into this lifetime saying, they are not going to do that to me again. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to hold me back. Nobody is going to tell me what I can do and what I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suspect that, huh?
I thought I'm listening.
I would suspect you came in that way. And you were probably a handful for your mother to raise in your first, you know, because the things that make us a brilliant adult make it very, very hard for the people that are trying to take care of us and teach us the rudiments of society when we're young.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating that you went back home and didn't let it get to you, that you didn't brand yourself a failure. You didn't decide, I can't make it on my own. And you had that rebel in you. What you came in with is amazing. Because you and I believe it was a pretty quick turnaround. It wasn't like a long, long time in between incarnations.
Okay.
So, because you did make it pretty fast. And what you did was you, do you know I'm trying to remember who the heck it was who said, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it matters how high you bounce afterwards.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
You know that quote, I think, probably.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, you can hit bottom, fine. But make it hitting like a trampoline. You know, hit down with purpose, and I am flying higher than I ever flew before. And that's the image that I'm getting from you.
Mm. Well,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So when you have that power within you, it's almost impossible to resist. You know, there's nothing going to keep you down. You're just going to go from one height, one big achievement to the next. And you will probably choose at least three different paths in your lifetime. Because comes a point when you've achieved so much, another opening, another show, you know, and so you are going to want to conquer another mountain. You're not going to climb the same mountain over and over and over. You're going to probably have at least three different separate careers. But each one of them is going to build upon the other one, and you're going to use everything that you learned in the other ones to facilitate your new career. Is that beginning to make sense to you?
Well, I would already say that I have three careers, because I honestly see nothing beyond this that I'm doing.
Okay.
I did the factory, and now I'm doing this. So that's true. I'm great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But just stay open. It will impress you so immensely. And you already will have been so well established that you can afford to take a flyer, put it that way. Okay.
What does this mean, like, in terms of money and in terms of power or success?
I think you will get to the point where money is insignificant as a measure of your success, and you're going to go. I don't know whether it's a foundation. I don't know whether it is a philosophical thing. It could well be a philosophical school of opening doors for people internally, spiritually and emotionally and mentally.
That's really weird that you say that.
Okay.
I only say that because there was a foundation that I wrote about when I was in jail. That I asked for one piece of paper and a pen, and I wrote the whole thing out. But then when I got out, I was like, I'm not starting a nonprofit. How the hell am I going to live?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's just weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suspect you will somewhere down the road, and it will wind up bigger and better than what you originally thought. It's going to be more expensive than you originally conceived it could be.
What do you mean it's going to be more expensive? You mean I'm going to be more money?
No, expansive.
Oh, expansive, okay.
Yeah, not expensive, expansive. Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, either
it's going to be like you know on the Google Maps where you zoom in and zoom out. This is a zoom out, okay? Okay.
I'm sure you're probably like the only psychic that talks like this.
Oh yeah, probably. I mean, you know, I mean, listen, this. You might enjoy Journals of a Healer.
Maybe, but okay. One last question. I'll let you go.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, take up your time. I'm only curious. Now I want to know about my actual family and love.
Your actual family?
Yeah, like, am I going to have a family? Am I going to actually fall in love with somebody?
Oh, I don't predict things like that. Because Stardust says, here's what Stardust says. If you predict the future, it's based upon your attitude and your actions and everything that's going on with you now. All of that may change. You may be walking, think about you're walking down a road or driving down a road, and if you keep going straight, you'll wind up where you were headed. However, if you come to an intersection and you turn right, you'll go to a different direction. You won't wind up where you were originally heading. So I believe totally in free will and in the power that we have to change our future. In fact, one of the things I literally do is go into other incarnations in what other people call the past and rewrite history.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I would like you to get Journals of a Healer, and the subtitle is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality.
Okay. I'm not closed off to the idea. I just, I've never really been like, oh, let me talk to a psychic and give them no.
No, let me just say this. In 1980, I was absolutely convinced that past life regression was a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And then a medical student talked me into doing a healing class because I had been doing healing since I was 15. I spent half of my life lying to myself and denying that was what I was doing, because the only people that I had ever heard of, please, I was born in the Bible Belt, in the Depression, okay? Think about where I've come from, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't, and being an intellectual, I played violin and I read Shakespeare, you know? And I couldn't believe in this superstitious crap. And
right.
So just despite the fact that out of a clear blue sky with not a single cloud in it, one blasted lightning bolt came down a wall 3 feet from me. And what it literally did was it activated the part of my brain that does the psychic stuff.
Interesting.
Okay, this happened in 1944, and I didn't find out what had happened and get the clear picture until
1979. Whoa!
Yeah, it's insane. It's really crazy, but yeah. Because I mean, I'm you know, the smarter you are, the the better you are at fooling yourself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I denied, I equivocated, I rationalized, I did everything to convince myself that that all I was doing was just giving good massages, and I couldn't figure out why nobody else didn't think to give them a massage when that's all they needed. Very simple.
That's funny.
It's ridiculous, but you know, the world wasn't ready for me. The world wasn't even ready for me in 1980. I mean, you know. So we used to have a comic strip that was called "Born 30 Years Too Soon." You know. Mm-hmm. So I just. I people didn't understand me. I was always weird. I was born weird, you know.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, and I always say, you know, if a person isn't a character, they're not really much worth bothering with, you know.
I agree with you.
You know, it's silly. I mean, why? I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to be bored out of your gourd, you know, you can do it an awful lot of different ways than surrounding yourself with totally predictable, tame, dull people. Life is too mm-hmm. short.
I agree with you.
So, but you, I suspect you're going to do what you want to do first. And then, when you're really ready, and you could be, you know, in your late 30s when you decide to have a family, and that's fine. I've got a girlfriend who's in Las Vegas. She had triplets. She was either 39 or 40.
I would still freak out if that happened
to me. They are three boys, and she's a size four, okay, and she's got these three 14-year-old boys. They're going to be 15 in September, and it's hysterical. I mean, she talks to them like they were people right from the very beginning. We discussed this, and we discussed this loud and clear while they were on the way, and I told her, you know, I treated my kids like little people. From the very beginning, they were people. They had feelings, they had talents, they had dreams and wanting to do things and ambition and everything. And that's the way I treated my kids right from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I had four completely different kids. They wouldn't even know they were in the same family. They were so different. They thought differently. They acted differently. They had different ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And that was because I presented them with opportunities. And if they were totally disinterested, we went on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But they did as much as they were capable of. I have Polaroids of my son doing his first watercolor at 14 months.
Aww.
He was jealous of his older sister. He was feeling left out, and I said, "Okay, here you go. Here's a brush, and you dip it in the water, and you kind of roll it around the rim there, so you get this nice little point. So, and you dip it in the color, and then you put it right on the paper, and away he went."
That's awesome.
I never once told my kids that, you know, you're too little. I would tell them, well, you're going to have to get a little older and a little bigger and a little smarter before I think you can be able to do this. But like going to school, I mean, you can't exactly go to school when you're two. You know, I had a birthday. Now I want to go to school like the big kids.
Aww.
Yeah, so, but 10 days later, she came to me and she says, "Mama, today I'm going to cool." And I was in the middle of making, I had bread dough all over my hands, you know. I said, wait till I get this in the oven and we'll talk about this. And by the time I finished, she was impatient. She was gone. So I ran over to the school, which happened to be across the street. She wasn't in the playground. So I ran all around the whole school thinking maybe she had passed, you know, turned a corner in front of me, came back, and my au pair had gone through the park. She was puffing and panting. She's not there. She's not there. She's not there. And so I said, well, before I call the police, maybe I better go back and give the school a second chance. And she was 2 years and 10 days old, okay? And so this teacher came out holding by the hand. She says, "Is this your child?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well," she says, "she must have located us by sound." She says, "I'm the kindergarten teacher." And she came in, stood in the door for a minute, and then walked to the back of the room, sat down, and joined in with the song that we sang. She already knew it. You know, she already knew 31 songs at 10, you know. And so I knew I was in big trouble. So I had learned that there was a parent-child workshop a few blocks away, which was under the University of California, Santa Barbara. And so I called them up and I said, "I have a child that is so ready for school that she went and enrolled herself." we've got to join. How do we join this parent child workshop? "Well, how old is she?" I said, two. "Oh no, she's too young. We never take in, usually we're doing 3-year-olds. We have one 2.5-year-old, but she happens to be very big and very smart for her age, you know." And I said, would you explain this to Mindy?" She did. So Mindy gets on the phone. She says, "Please, Mr. Teacher, later, please, can I come to your cool?" She actually talked herself into a look-see. That too. I mean, all right. So So Stacy is listening to all this, and she said, mm-hmm, okay, uh-huh, I got it. So this is the way she's raised her kids. And two
That's
of her
awesome.
Kids, she called me up. She says, "This stuff is going on in the neighborhood that I don't like." And she says, "There's one precocious girl that kind of came on to one of my 11-year-olds." You know, I said, "Get them into sports. Get them away. Get them involved in something that is outside of the neighborhood. But don't let it be football." So she got them into baseball. And one of them, she's got a pitcher and a catcher, and the third guy is a computer guy. So he's in his Xbox and stuff like that, you know. So the kid who is the pitcher is throwing baseballs at 83 miles an hour, and he's 14 years old.
Oh, my.
So he threw the ball so hard that he cracked a bone in his arm, and it was just a little green stick fracture kind of thing. But now they got to heal that thing. And I said, "Listen, I'm in the anti-aging business. You know that. And you know the Age Lock Vitality I gave you." She said, "Yeah." I said, "Instead of six, give him two a day." And it works on the mitochondrial level. It works on the brain, the heart, and the muscles, and it will help him to heal faster. So she puts him on it, and a couple months go by. He says, "Mom, we are running low. You have got to get me more of that crack." He calls it his crack because he feels that good when he takes it.
That's awesome.
But I mean, she's got the kind of open relationship with them that they come and tell her when a 12-year-old hits on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell her everything that's going on, and she's just fabulous, and she has. And she's holding down a full-time job as a assistant director of finance and FIT in the largest Hyundai distributorship in the dealership in Las Vegas. You know.
Awesome.
So I mean, That's how she does it, you know. And people say, you know, when you have kids when you're 40, you are better able to deal with them as people, I think, because when you have them when so young, they're like dolls. They're like, you know, they're like babies. And I had. My second husband was, we would say, "You can't do that to children. They're babies. They're going to be grown up so too long. Why not them let them be babies?" And I said, "Listen, if you're going to raise a grown up, you got to start from the get-go. You can't suddenly snap your fingers and say, okay, kid, you're 21, go out there and be a man."
Yep, sure story. True story. Hey, I don't want to cut you off, but my battery's like 14%.
Oh, okay.
And done.
Well, so you asked me a bunch of questions, and you got maybe more than you wanted.
That's okay.
But this is what you want to think about. If you're thinking about having a family, you're thinking about bringing incredible human beings into this world.
Yes. No, you
and
said
and
like
doing
late 30s, and I was like, no. It'll happen far before then. Well, in my mind.
Yeah, but I mean, you may get very busy.
Yeah,
you don't know. You don't know, but just because you're getting up in your 30s doesn't mean it's too late. It isn't too late. I mean, look at my girlfriend Stace. I mean, here she is. She's I guess in November she's going to be 55, and she's as young. You know, I mean, she's nobody knows. Nobody can believe her age. You know, they think she's maybe 35. Of course, she is doing the age-lock vitality. So, but she's fabulous. I mean, the energy she has, and when she can come home and the animals, it's the animal farm. You know, they're waiting for me. You know, and of course they love her, they adore her. She's just the greatest mom that ever lived in the world. And she's very rich, you know. So the richness, you're going to redefine wealth a couple of times in your life.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So listen, you're going to keep in touch, right? And I'll send you the podcast when I get it. Okay?
You got it.
All righty.
Thank you for having me, and let's stay in touch.
Yes, definitely. Okay, hon.
By the way.
Talk to you. And when you get to New York, you're going to call me, right? We're going to get together.
Yes.
Yeah. Flesh to flesh. Yeah. Eyeball to eyeball.
We're going to have 2 weeks.
Okay, hon. Yeah, I live on the Upper West Side. I live on the street that John Lennon lived on. If you know who John Lennon was.
I know who John Lennon was.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a fantastic neighborhood. It's a really great place. So we'll have fun together somewhere sometime, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Thanks, Mary.
Okay, hon. Bye.
Bye.